All right, so let's do a quick review. As we look at the parable of the lost sheep. So, the man is Jesus in the story. The sheep are his believers. Again, this is just review. The lost are those who have gone astray. And when we looked at the parable in Matthew, we see that those that are gone astray are those who are believers. They are believers that have gone astray. All right? The lost is that one believer who has gone astray in the story. Jesus, the man, will leave the 99 to look for those, all right, who have strayed. And he asked it in the form of a question, of course, in verse 12, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep? So he's looking for an answer. So I guess the question would be, if you are a scout troop leader and you had 100 Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and you're hiking through the woods and you get to camp and you've got 99 and one of them's missing, do you say, oh, too bad for the one, the 99 are here, let's keep going? Answer?
No.
No, of course not. And so he gives it in the form of a question so that they can relate to it, because sometimes these things go over our heads. Sometimes we don't understand. So obviously we're going to go back and look for that one. Heck, we might even take the other 99 and say, hey, help us look for that one. All right. So all of that is kind of review. How does it relate? Look at the awesome as the reckless love of God, that he would leave the 99 to go after the one. And so now we get a better understanding of what he's saying here in this parable, and that one lost one is very precious. And it's how the kingdom of heaven operates. If you look at verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. When he means little ones, he's not talking about the children. He is talking about believers. It is not the will of the Father that any of these believers should perish. All right, so that's just review. We did mention this last week, though. What would cause somebody to go astray? And so we came up with a number of different things. And I shared this with the inmates again last week. And so fear, trouble, lost focus. Susan last week said good times. Sometimes you can have good times and just forget that it was the Lord who blessed us with those good times. Trial, fear. It's just our nature, because sheep are dumb. It's just our nature to eat and fall off a cliff. But I like the idea of self. Whenever we start dealing with self, and self takes, somebody just put a, Deb, you just sent a note to me. Oh, so, okay, Chuck's bandwidth is low. That may be the problem. Yeah. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, I know. We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Can't see your lovely face.
Oh, my God. Let me see if I can put my camera. Well, my video is on, so. And I appreciate that, Sandra. God bless you. I'll have to see if I can log on with the computer later, and then you can see my new hairdo. All right. So that's how heaven operates. And so we want to make sure that we're not fearful. So now let's go over to Luke. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Luke. And then we'll wrap this up. So, then drew near unto him.
There you are.
Oh, there.
Oh, I love the hairdo. Wow.
Yeah, my wife did it. She's like, hey, look, I'm tired of that nappy afro. We're going to do something with it. So, she actually likes this. So, she says she's going to do this from time to time. So
I love it, too. That's your pastor look.
Okay, all right. I'll go with that. Thank you. Cloverdale. Carol will appreciate this. All right. So Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7. Again, this is just review. It's interjecting some different things here. Okay, so what we talked about last week, because I forgot to record it last week. Starting in chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. So what we talked about last week was all of these other people, publicans and sinners, that's not the righteous ones. It's like he's expanded this version of the parable. He's expanded this to include everybody who might be lost. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, we also mentioned last week that, and I don't want to have to go through that because you guys beat me up a little bit on that one. Is it dangerous for us to receive sinners and communicate or eat in fellowship with them? Yes, it is. Because they can draw you back into sin and lead you astray instead of us bringing them into the truth. All right. So there is a point here. However, if you go through the process, then we should be looking at sinners with the opportunity to bring them into the kingdom. And we know what that process is. One, you got to humble yourself before you go back to playing spades with those same old folks that you were playing with before you got saved. Two, you have to repent. You have to change your mind from the purpose of what you were going there before. Three, you have to have hope that you can give them the hope that you have in Christ through the word. And then four, you're going to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and do those things that bring him glory. And then you can play spades with those folks that you used to play spades with. All right. So we talk about that as an example. But the Pharisees are looking at this from a different perspective. And so now here's where perspective comes back into play. They look at a sinner, and from their perspective, a self-righteous perspective, they look at these sinners, these publicans and sinners, and they say, they're no good. They cannot be redeemed. They're just bad folk. They deserve to go to hell. That's one perspective. Jesus understands the perspective that they're going through. And if anybody has any questions or whatever, just chime right in. And he spake this parable unto them. Verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? All right, so we got a couple other things here that kind of adds to what we saw in Matthew. Again, this is just review. Where are these other sheep? They're in the wilderness. And he makes a point to say that they're in the wilderness. And so what does the wilderness mean? We talked about this last week. Wilderness means transition. You're not where you used to be, but you're not where God ultimately wants to take you. And transition is not always easy. Transition can be difficult, but he's with you in the transition. Praise God that we follow a shepherd who is still with us and coming back to join us while we're in the wilderness trying to get to God's best. God's best is always in front of us, regardless of our situation or diagnosis. All right. I love the fact that he is persistent. Aren't we so happy that God is persistent? He keeps going and looking for them until he finds them. All right. And I think we left off at around verse 5 that when he finds it, he layeth it on his shoulders and he's rejoicing. All right. So there's a couple things that we see here. One, why does he lay them on his shoulders? We talked about this last week. Because they are damaged and sheep don't know how to get back to where they need to get to. And so sometimes transition is difficult. It's like footprints in the sand. We played the song, shoulders. Christ in the wilderness will pick us up and lift us up. All right. If he hasn't done that yet, maybe he hasn't found you. Or maybe you haven't found him. If you don't feel him lifting you up and carrying you through a tough time, question to everybody, what should you do? How can you make sure that Christ finds you so he can lift you up in your wilderness transition season? Talk to me. Nobody's talking to me. I can't hear you.
Say it, Dina. I didn't hear. He was gone.
Say, go back to the steps.
Yes.
Yeah, I said, Back. That's what I said.
Yes, thank you. You go back to the steps. You humble yourself. You ask, God, I'm in this wilderness. I need you to repent. Stop running. Just stop and repent and turn to Him. Three, put your hope in the Word of God, this parable, and hope that, you know, trust in the Word by faith that He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. This example of this parable is a good word to trust in because He's going to pick you up. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, act in a manner and do those things that give you strength to persist and to wait on Him, and He will lift you up. Follow the steps. And then rejoicing. And we talked about this as a review as well. Rejoicing. When does the rejoicing start? It starts before they get back to the fold. So we know that when we're with Him, we have the confidence and assurance that things are going to work out in our favor, that our better days are in front of us, so we don't have to wait for the manifestation of the good times to come. We should be rejoicing now. Can we as Christians rejoice while we're still in the wilderness waiting for God's best?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now, here's the new stuff, and we can wrap this parable up as we get through verses 6 and 7. And when he cometh home, all right, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So now he entertains, or he introduces some more elements into this story. All right? So, what did he just do? He calls his neighbors and friends, and he says, hey, I want you to rejoice. I want you to be happy, because I found what I was looking for that was lost. All right? Now, what does that tell you in this story, application in the parable? Why does he want them to rejoice with him? Look at it in the natural.
Kind of sounds like the guy that comes back, the prodigal son. Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son comes back, he has a party. He wants everybody to rejoice because he has lost something precious, but now it's back. It's been restored to him. All right, and he wants to share that good news with his friends. I'm going to pick on Don because I think I saw Don log on. Do you know that Don has a daughter, his youngest daughter, is the, what is that thing when you're the top of your class in the graduate? Is that valedictorian? Yeah. She's a valedictorian. She's the first African-American student that is the valedictorian of her school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. And guess what he did? He blasted it all over the place on Facebook and told me about it. Now, why the heck? I don't even know the girl. why does he want to tell me about this great thing about his daughter?
He's proud. He's happy.
He's happy. He's proud. And he wants to share it with his boy. He wants to share it with Chuck.
With his friends.
With his friends. And I bet you, since he's been joining us, he's probably happy that I shared it with you. Because I think he considers us his friends. He's given Al a waiver. And so now we're looking at them. Jesus is so excited over lost people that he wants to share it with his true friends. Now, here's the problem with this. The Pharisees, who are church people, they're crazy church people, All right, the self-righteous people. They have a perspective and a viewpoint about the lost. Jesus here in this parable says, that's their perspective. But my perspective is, instead of looking at them funny, you ought to rejoice when you see them and when they come back home. When they come back to the sheepfold, when they come back to the church, when they come back to the fellowship of believers, we should be celebrating and rejoicing because Jesus is celebrating and rejoicing when they come back. And if we look at them like, oh my God, they're back. Or, who the heck is this? I mean, you know, we have to rejoice. And where do we rejoice? We rejoice in our hearts. We rejoice in our churches. When we see lost people who are obviously looking different from us, and we see them come back, we have to have a godly perspective, a heavenly, a kingdom perspective of them when they come back. Can't look at them from a self-righteous perspective. I think maybe that's all that he's saying here. Now, I know we don't have that issue or that problem. We invite anybody to come into the fold. That's why Al is still a member of the class.
He's not here today, is he?
He cannot defend himself, no. All right.
No.
All right, so we're supposed to rejoice when the lost are found, all right? And he says rejoice with him. So that means we're supposed to be happy and rejoicing with him because the lost are found. Let's go to verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Now, key word here, likewise. And why is that a key word? It's a key word because now we're taking the natural story, we're taking this story in the natural, and now we're applying it and expanding it to an interpretation of how heaven and the kingdom of heaven is supposed to operate in our hearts and in our world. I say unto you, verse 7, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Again, you guys already said it. It's so eerily, and we'll get to it eventually here this year. It's just like the prodigal son and the response that the older brother has when the son comes back. And I don't want to have that attitude of the older brother, all right? Because the other 99 of us get a reward, but we should be happy when somebody else can receive that same reward.
Exactly.
I don't know why he gave this parable. This seems so natural to me. I just don't understand why. Certainly this is not an issue for us today in the church, but for some reason he gives this parable, and we still have to be careful that we don't have this attitude in church. Especially when we bring politics and those other things into the church. All right? So, this is how heaven operates. Okay? So, I got some final notes here. I can't put them up on the screen, but I have, some final notes here. You got to have the right perspective about the loss. I saw a panhandler on the... man, there's so many panhandlers out there now. I got to kind of figure out what am I supposed to do? Do I give you money? Do I pray for you? But I want to be able to have a heart of compassion because they're lost, or I believe they must be lost because he said his seed would never be begging bread. So here's some final notes. How can a sinner find repentance? One, stop running away from Jesus. Stop trying to do things on your own. That's how you run away from Jesus. And you got to realize this. Can the lost sheep find their way back on their own? No. They can only find their way back through Christ. Next, you turn and follow him again. And you allow him to lift you up. Can we lift ourselves up?
No.
Do we try to lift ourselves up?
Yes.
Yes. We need to stop trying to do that.
Yeah,
we need to.
Heavy.
Yes. We need to let him do what he has designed to do in the process. Stop trying to work things out on your own. Let him lift you up. That's what the parable is showing us in Luke. All right? And when he starts to do that, and you have by faith, you allow him to do what he's supposed to do or what he wants to do for you as the good shepherd, you can start rejoicing. Start rejoicing now and know that the barbecue and the big party and the fireworks will happen when you get back home. All right. There you go, Sandra. All right. Okay. Just
the angels in the cloud of witnesses are having a party already when it actually happens.
I want to have a party in heaven. I mean, this is just great. And we got these Pharisees, we got these self-righteous people that are saying, boo. And we got heaven rejoicing and saying, yay, this is a great thing. We have to look at it from the heavenly and God's perspective. Let me give you some final notes. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. You need constant care and watching. You cannot leave them unattended because sheep are kind of clueless. All right? Sheep still go astray, so I'm protecting myself. I'm following my steps every day because I don't want to be lost and go astray. All right? Yes?
You know, one thing you would need to understand, too, is one reason you rejoice is because next time
oh, I like that. So Roger says, hey, another reason to rejoice is because it could be us. The next time it could be us. And it might not, and you know, Roger, I like that. It might not necessarily be that we are totally lost, but we might be lost in a particular area of our life. And I think that's how you expand this even more so. Hey, I'm not going to go astray. I love the Lord too much. I've been through too much. But there could be areas in my life where I don't trust him in that, and I might go astray in an area of my life. Let me repeat that again. Just because I'm following Christ, there may be an area in my life where I've gone astray and I don't trust him in that particular area. I might not trust him in my marriage. I might trust him in everything. I might not trust him in how I deal with people on my job. There might be areas or strongholds that the enemy can touch me on, okay? Where I might go astray, even though you see me show up for church. I don't want to go astray in any area of my life. There could be strongholds or areas in our life where we can kind of look at this, and all of a sudden we look like a Pharisee in that particular area of our life, and I don't want any self-righteousness to fall into that perspective, all right? Because I'll tell you, there have been times where I've been upset with people. I looked at somebody and go, you know what, you are going straight to hell. And I was okay with that because I just thought they deserved it. And heaven is rejoicing when those types of people who I may not like come back to the kingdom. That's a bad perspective that I had. And all of a sudden, I love what God loves. He loves lost people.
Yeah.
All right. Because he goes looking for them. All right. So as I get ready to wrap this one up and go into the next parable, yay! Two more points that I want to bring. I was playing basketball one day, and this guy wore contact lenses, and his contact lens fell out, and all of us are playing basketball. Contact fell out of his eyes. We're playing basketball. Guess what everybody did?
Get down on the ground and look.
No. They didn't keep playing basketball. They stopped. And some of these guys aren't safe. They stopped. Some of them got on their hands and knees and started looking for the contact lens.
His teammate.
And other people, check this out. Not only was it his teammates that he was playing with, other people that he was playing against who was trying to beat him, all right,
wow.
They stopped and started looking for the contact lens as well. Be careful. Watch where you're walking.
Yeah.
What's it look like? You know. And they're looking for it. And they didn't say, well, don't worry about it because you still got two eyes and another contact lens. Let's keep going or whatever. They stopped to look for it. Application for today from that particular parable. Jesus is
kindness.
In heaven. Kindness. Yeah. So if Jesus might be asking us, in fact, I know he does in Matthew 28. We should be supporting or ourselves going to those places in the wilderness where lost sheep can be found.
Yep.
That's what I get out of this.
Yeah.
We all know somebody who is not in the light. We ought to be either supporting those who are going out, praying for those while we're in the sheep coat waiting for them to come back, or out there ourselves sharing the good news and doing what the shepherd would love us to do. Because heaven rejoices and God is happy if we bring a lost person back. All right.
Amen.
So that's that one. All right. Oh, and here's the last thing. Notice that once he finds the lost sheep, he doesn't say, I found out where he is, and come back and tell everybody else, yeah, I found him. He's up in the mountains. This is not just a search, all right?
This search is, and rescue.
It's a, oh, I love it. I'm writing this down. I have it. It is a search and rescue. It is a search and recovery. He doesn't just go out looking for them. It's search and recovery. Application for us today. He doesn't want us to just find him. He doesn't want to just find us. He wants to bring us all the way back into his goodness, all the way back into restoration of what we have lost.
Restoration. Good, yeah. Yep.
He doesn't save us just to save us. He saves us to restore us, to revive us, so that we can go out and bless somebody else and give that testimony. I was lost like you too, but now I'm found.
Yeah.
And you can have what I have, and let me hook you up with the great shepherd. All right? So, it is search and rescue. That's encouraging, because he did not save them to have them die in the wilderness. The design and the plan is always for us to enter into his peace, his rest, and his goodness. Okay? All right. Anybody have any thoughts?
Chuck,
yes.
If we do not go out and do the same that Christ has done for us, he would take us out of the world when we're saved. We have to go out and do the same thing.
Okay, so you are getting into another parable, and I'm glad you did. We won't talk about it today, but you just kind of, as soon as you said that, it reminds me of the parable of the talents.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody, I can't remember, I think somebody's got five talents, somebody's got three or two, and the other one has one.
Yes.
And we'll go into that parable. That's a very deep parable. That's one of the first parables I really learned. And we know what happened to the person who knows the story. The person who has only one talent hid it in the ground, didn't invest. Yeah. And the king comes back and says, and you're wicked. Because you're wicked. Because at the very least, you could have taken it to the bank and I could have got interest. So he's looking for a return on his investment. And see, here's the thing. I love this. This does not mean that everybody has to be so fearful that they're going to be out of their comfort zone, because evangelism may not be your thing. But in that parable, he says, if you're too scared, or if you're too nervous, or you don't feel comfortable going after to invest in somebody else, which trade your testimony with somebody else, you should have at least invested in somebody else who invests. When you put your money in the bank, do you think your bank just sits on your money? They invested for an increase where this is how you earn interest. And so from a spiritual perspective, thank you, Susan, from a spiritual perspective, at least if you don't go out there and try to witness or bring the good news to somebody in your area of contact, area of influence, you should at least be investing in or putting your talent or your use or your money into somebody else who is out there doing it. So at least when the Father comes back, you've got something to show for it.
Yep.
All right. So that's that. So let me shut off my recording.